Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. The name of the message is Grace Given. Grace Given. I could have had a couple different names for this message. Could be Pillars of the Church. But I decided to name it Grace Given because this is something that's given to every believer. Is grace. God gives us grace in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And other believers recognize that as our spirit bears witness with one another. It's affirmed. It's affirmed the grace that God has given us. And today we'll be finishing the first section of chapter 2. Now chapter 2 is a very important chapter in this book, especially in the upcoming portion. The whole scriptures are important, but Paul is going to get at the heart of justification in Christ. That's what he's going to bring forth in the next section that we're going to look at, that we are only justified in Christ. We're not justified by anything we do. We're only justified in Christ. So this is the finishing section of from the start of the epistle to this point where Paul is bringing forth his apostolic authority that it's been given to him by God. Remember, we've been seeing that through chapter 1, and we've seen that through chapter 2 now. Now the brethren, the apostles at Jerusalem, they've agreed that he has been given the grace of God. And he's preaching salvation in Christ alone. And so that's the section that we're at right now. Let's read verses 1 to 10 of Galatians chapter 2 to get the context. Our verses today will be verses 9 and 10. So we'll be closing up this, again, first section within this chapter. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Again, he had a private meeting where he preached the gospel to the apostles. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, because remember, the false teachers were saying you must be circumcised in order to be saved. So Titus wasn't compelled to be circumcised because he's saved by God's grace in Christ alone. And that because of false brethren, unawares bought in, that came in private, despised our liberty, remember our freedom that we have in Christ, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again into bondage. All man's based religion brings us into bondage. Anything man adds that you have to do to work to gain or merit God's favor or get to heaven is bondage, beloved. It's bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, I'm not going to even let them speak. It's poison. Again, right? Would you let your kids toy with a bottle of poison? No, we would never do that, would we? We saw our kids playing with poison, we'd grab that bottle, wouldn't we? Take it out of their hands. Because if they just drink a drop of that, they're gone. So Paul, he's not letting these false teachers even speak a word. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And look at why did he do that? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. There's a universal truth right there. God doesn't accept any of us based upon anything in ourselves. It's all according to his grace and his mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's so wonderful. So encouraging, isn't it? So encouraging. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference, they added nothing to me. But counterwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively imputed to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Notice who's rotting in them, like we looked at last week? It's God, isn't it? God's called them to preach. He's a chosen vessel to be sent to the Gentiles. Every one of us is a chosen vessel out of our generation, beloved. And it's God who's wrought a work in us, isn't he? Holy Spirit's regenerated us. We're born again. Christ wrought a work for us, and then the Holy Spirit wrought a work in us. Oh, it's wonderful. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God gives grace to unworthy sinners? Here's an example right here. I'm an unworthy sinner. I'm a saved sinner now, but I'm an unworthy sinner. Are you? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God's showing us grace? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it truly incredible that we were lost sinners? We were totally lost, had no idea who God really was, had no comprehension of his glory, had no comprehension of how wonderful he was, totally lost. Now we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and now we're saved sinners. Isn't that amazing? We didn't do anything about it. It's God who did it all for us, isn't it? We've been given grace, haven't we, beloved? We've been given grace. Grace has been given to us. Grace has been shown to us, unworthy sinners. The God of the universe is showing us mercy. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Ancient of Days, has shown us mercy. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Again, I ask you, has God's grace not been given to us? Has God not saved us by his great mercy and his great grace? Has he not manifested his eternal love to us? He has, hasn't he? Rejoice, beloved. Rejoice. It's only God who made us to differ. It's only God who made us to differ from all the folks in the world. There's nothing in us. We're unworthy sinners. And yet God said, I love you. You're mine. You knew where I was going. You're mine. And he said that from eternity. He didn't just say that when we were born again. He said that all through eternity. Before an angel ever was. Before there was ever any worlds. Before there was ever any worlds. God is showing, he's showing mercy and grace to us. Mercy and grace to us, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? So wonderful. Truly, we who are the redeemed of the Lord, truly, truly, we have something to praise God for, don't we? Truly, we are the most blessed people in this world. Even though we have a hard day, we struggle, we are the most blessed people in the world. The most blessed people. God has shown mercy to this unworthy sinner, and you who are the redeemed, who are also unworthy sinners. God has shown us mercy. You know why? Because it pleased him to do so. Oh, my! Now that's fuel for the fire, isn't it? That makes my heart leap for joy. Wow, God, the God of the universe has done this. Just because it pleased him to do so. You know what else he's done it for? He's done it for every single believer. Look at our verse here. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. Paul's been given grace, hasn't he? You know the same grace Paul received, the same grace we received? Isn't that amazing? Spurgeon said this once, and I just blew my mind away. He said, we were chosen the same time as the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and before the foundation of the world. All of us were chosen at the same time. Isn't that incredible? All of us are loved with in eternal love. It's just incredible. It says, perceive the grace that was given unto me. They gave to Barnabas, to me and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship. What do we do? Morning, brother. Love you. We see each other, don't we? Morning, sister. Give each other a hug. Hey, perceiving the grace that God has given us. Isn't it wonderful? Same grace that was given to Paul and Barnabas and James and Cephas and John, and Cephas there is Peter, is the same grace that's been given to us, beloved. Amazing. And it is amazing grace, isn't it? Like John Newton wrote, it is amazing grace that God would have mercy on unworthy sinners. Yes, yes, yes. And you know he'll have mercy on all who come to him, won't he? All who come to him, he'll have mercy on. He had not turned, has he turned away one who's come to him? Not one, amen, not one. Not one. Folks say, well, I don't know if I'm one of the elect. Flee to Christ. Don't worry if you aren't one of the elect. Flee. If you flee to Christ, I'll tell you what, you're one of the elect. Isn't it wonderful? Folks get all wrapped up in things like that, don't they? I know I did. Before the Lord saved me, I did. I thought, what are you talking about? God chooses people? Yep. But the amazing thing is that he chose me. That he had mercy on me. That's the amazing thing. So here, the scripture declares that James and Cephas, which is Peter and John, were apparently the chief spokesmen for the church at Jerusalem. And the word pillars there is from the word stulos, which means to speak of literal pillars or columns of buildings. But it was natural, it was a natural metaphor that the Greeks used in classic Greek, as it's used here, about the church being looked upon as the temple of God, that these men, among others, were looked upon as supporters. That's all. That's all it means, supporters of the church. They were men who went out and preached the gospel. They're no different than you and I. You know that? They weren't. They were men of like passions. Like we know from Peter, don't we? I know from Peter, he's just like me. Peter's always sticking his foot in his mouth. Well, yeah, that's all of us, isn't it? Right? Let's be honest. Right? That's every one of us. Oh, my. But he's a saved man, isn't he? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, just like we are. Given the grace, same grace that we're given by God. It's amazing. It's just amazing when you think about it. So they were, and think of this too. It was a church at Jerusalem that thought them to be so. The church where they ministered, who thought them to be so. Right? And they didn't say, well, I'm a pillar of the church. The church couldn't live without me. I'll tell you what. Someone asked me one time, they said, Wayne, when I was out in Oregon, they said, Wayne, what would happen if you died to the church out here? I said, God would just raise another person up if he wants it. I said, the church doesn't depend on me. I'm just a mouthpiece praising God and telling others about other sinners where to find bread like I found bread. Right? Yeah, no, they weren't up vaulting themselves around going, look at me. They weren't doing nothing like that. They were leaders, yes. They were humble leaders, weren't they? And they did that which they were commissioned to do, because we're soldiers. The soldiers commissioned to do something, right? You get orders and you march. We're going to look at today the purpose of the Church of God. Why we are here in Elmont. The purpose of why we're here. It's amazing, beloved. It's all according to God's plan and purpose. We're here for the gospel. That's why we're here. And isn't it amazing that God has brought a bunch of people together who at one time didn't listen to the gospel? It's a miracle, isn't it? It really is. You know why now we love the gospel? Because of the grace that's been given to us. It's amazing. And I'll tell you who gets all the glory. God gets it all, beloved. He gets it all. When I first meet people, I don't say, well, I'm Pastor Wayne. I don't say that at all. I don't say that at all. You know what I do? I just meet them on their own. And then they find out I'm a preacher. And then they're either still my friend or they're not my friend anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But they pull out the God card, right? Then, you know, once they find out you're a preacher, Norm Wilson does, and I've experienced this many times. They're talking to you like normal and everything. And once they find out you're a preacher, well, I'm a good person. I'm like, no, you're not. Just quit lying. And I'm honest with them, too. And, you know, we just continue being friends. But you know, I don't wear no collar. I don't advertise who I am. I'm a saved sinner. That's what I am, first and foremost. I'm a saved sinner. Now, I'm called to lead in the church, and I'll do that by God's grace, right? And by God's mercy. By His mercy and His grace. Any one of us who are in a leadership position, it's because of God's grace and God's mercy we've been placed there. And by God's grace and by God's mercy, we will lead. We will lead as a believer. As a believer, no matter where we're at. It's wonderful. And so they were looked upon as pillars in the church. And they were not pillars. They were not strong supporters because the other apostles were unfaithful. No, not at all. They were just really zealous in what they believed, and they were appointed by God to be leaders. But it doesn't make them any better, right? That's why I always say, I'm no better than you guys. We're all on the same ground, aren't we? I've been to places where the preacher, he never sins. It's like, my gosh, he's a sinner just like me. But they get vaulted up to such a position that people think, well, they never sin. Oh, no, yeah, they do. They're just as much of a dead dog as I am. I'll tell you what. You know, just because we're saved doesn't mean our sin goes away, does it? No. As a matter of fact, now we struggle more with sin than we ever struggled before with sin. It's so true. But see, the grace that's been given to us strengthens us, doesn't it? Right? The faith in Christ strengthens us, beloved. And God strengthens us. He gives us strength to endure temptations and sins, to turn away from certain things. And now there's certain things we struggle with and we're probably going to struggle with. There's sins that we struggle with. That we're probably going to struggle with till the day we die. But you know what? We won't struggle with them anymore after we're made perfect, right? We'll never struggle with any sin after we go to glory. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful thing to look forward to. No more struggle with sin. Ever. Ever. I told my family, I said, I know you're going to weep for me when you die, but I'm going to be in glory rejoicing. I have no more struggle with sin. And what I say to my kids, I say, meet me there. Meet me in heaven. Look to my King. Look to my Savior. Look to Him. My, oh my. My, oh my. So these three men were reputed to be pillars in the church. And they were thought of so by the Jerusalem church. But note in this verse also that Paul used Peter and James and John to illustrate the apostles' approval of his apostolic authority. Remember, he went up to Jerusalem to get letters for the Galatian churches to prove his apostolic authority. Well, look what we see right here. The apostles, after they heard him preach, they said, "Hello, brother. Hello, brother. Rejoice. If you hear someone preaching the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, rejoice. Rejoice, beloved. We live in a world of works-based religion. But I'll tell you what, the gospel's sounding out, isn't it? Where God has ordained, the gospel's sounding out. Out it goes. Out it goes. Oh, it's wonderful. And we're just one little bleep sounding out the gospel. One little horn sounding out the gospel amongst this world, right? And there's many others. We don't see them. We don't know them. We just know a small group of them, don't we? But I'll tell you what, there's more. I heard that Lance Heller out in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, there's 200-300 people that gather together in different places to hear the gospel every Sunday. It's amazing. Out goes the gospel. Now, that gospel of there might not be going out to the world, but it's sure going out right there, isn't it? And then they're going to carry it out to their families, aren't they? Now, we have the blessing of technology where we can get the gospel out to all around the world. From last year to this year, we've had 178 different countries download messages. Amen. That's the key right there. Praise God. Give him all the glory. Isn't that wonderful? We could never reach that many people with missionaries. See, God's taken us. The gospel going forth from here. That's the purpose why we're here. And out it goes, beloved, into the world. That's amazing. That's amazing. And these men, they just carried the gospel to wherever they went, didn't they? They preached the gospel to wherever they went. That's what every gospel preacher does. Where he's sent, he preaches the gospel. And God's people, what do? We rejoice, don't we? Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. So again, these men are not sought out to be pillars. No, they were just praising God and preaching the gospel. And they recognized and they acknowledged the grace that God had given to Paul and Barnabas. Look at again. Look at the first part of this verse. When James, Cephas, and John, or James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They heard the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace flowing out of the mouth of Paul. They heard it, because remember, he had a meeting with them. They heard the gospel. He had a private meeting. He preached to them. They heard the testimonies of Titus, of how God had effectively worked in him and saved his soul by the preaching of the gospel from Paul's mouth. And they rejoice. And Titus, he stood before them, an uncircumcised Jew. Isn't that neat? How Paul brought him along? Here, look! A Gentile saved by the grace of God. And Titus probably professed Christ. Like every one of us do, eh? Professed him as our King and our Lord and our Savior. He's a miracle. There standing before them is a miracle of God's grace. A Gentile saved by the grace of God. Now, they always thought that it was all about Israel, didn't they? And here's a Gentile standing before them. A Greek. My, oh my. God's amazing. And that's just a foreshadowing of how he saved us, wasn't it? By the same grace that was given to Paul, Peter, and James. Same grace. My. And they couldn't, these strong supporters of the church, right? They couldn't argue against the grace that had been given to Paul. Here's an example right before them. They heard him from his mouth, the gospel, and they were probably rejoicing, right? What do we do when we hear the gospel? Oh, we rejoice. And here they are. They're here, and Paul preached the gospel. And Paul says, well, let me bring this fellow over here. He's a Greek. Go ahead, Titus, tell him. Tell him what the Lord did for you. Oh, he saved my soul. He redeemed me with his blood. I'm saved. All my sins are forgiven. And remember that man? Remember that man? The great call, beautiful? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give you, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. He was walking and leaping, wasn't he? He was joyful, wasn't he? Oh, let that joy spring up in our hearts, beloved. We don't have to leap and joy a jump, because if I leaped and jumped, I probably wouldn't get up again, right? But, yeah, you're helping me, brother, won't you? You're helping me. But I'll tell you what, that joy is in our heart, isn't it? Our heart's leaping for joy. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Oh, he's so good to us. He's just so merciful to us. So merciful. And they welcomed them in. They welcomed Paul and Barnabas into fellowship. They also confirmed the proof of Paul's apostleship by doing that too. You see, now he's writing to the Gentiles, telling them about what happened. And who's he writing it by? The power of the Holy Spirit of God. See, never forget the true author. He's writing these things. These things are recorded for our learning, beloved. This is for our learning. This is for us to marvel and go, Paul's been given the same grace that we've been given. Peter and James and John, they've been given the same grace that we've been given. My, this is wonderful. So in this, let's read this verse again. And as we're reading this, it's as if Paul's saying to the church at Galatia, it should be obvious that these false brethren have bewitched you. They bewitched you. Because what did they do? They questioned his authority to preach. They questioned his authority as an apostle. They even questioned the gospel he preached. And so now here are these three men who are respected amongst the whole church at that time. Look what they do. And when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the brethren, and they unto the circumcision. Paul, you go and preach to them Gentiles. That's what they're saying. You go and preach Christ to them. We're going to go to the circumcision. We're going to preach Christ. You go and preach that Christ finished the perfect work, that Christ has redeemed his people by his precious, precious blood. You go preach that to them, brother. You preach that all who believe upon them, all who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved and have all their sins forgiven. It's not a question. It's assured. You believe on Christ. You trust Christ. And you're saved, aren't we? We're living proof of that, aren't we? Every believer, we're living proof of that. This unworthy sinner, God saved me. And every one of us can say that. Oh, it's wonderful. Isn't God's grace wonderful? Isn't it amazing? It's so amazing. It's just absolutely incredible. And consider this, it's God who's made us to differ. Only God made us to differ from anybody else in this world. Anybody else. I was talking to Bill Kirkpatrick yesterday, and he said he's the only one in his family who's the Lord saved. And I too, and Brian as well. In our families, we're the only ones who's the Lord saved that we know of. The only one who God made is God who made us to differ. That's the only one. The only one who made us to differ is God. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's absolutely amazing. We're saved sinners. We're saved sinners. We're saved by the grace of God. We've been given the grace of God in Christ to us. We're redeemed. And think of this too. We're redeemed by the same Father, beloved. We're chosen in Christ by the same Father. The same blood, the precious blood of Christ, is the same blood that saved us. The same Holy Spirit has regenerated us. We're part of the family of God now. We're brothers and we are blood-bought brothers and sisters, purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Blood bought. He gave his life for us. My. And it's only God who's made us to differ. And it's God who's bestowed this mercy upon us. It's God who's bestowed this grace upon us. And therefore, we give each other the right hand of fellowship, don't we? We love each other. You know, that's the one thing Satan can't counterfeit, is the love of God in Christ. The love to the brethren. He can't counterfeit that. He can counterfeit all kinds of other stuff. People say, well, I'm a believer, and they can know doctrine, they can know all kinds of stuff, and not be born again. I was there. I was a 5-point Calvinist and lost, so lost I didn't know Christ. I knew doctrine. I knew doctrine. I had been, what if you call a 5-point Arminian, I was a 5-point Arminian. I became a 5-point Calvinist, just knowing doctrine. Now, understand this. There'd be no grace. There'd be no work of grace in my heart. I knew things about the Scripture, but I did not know Christ. I had no peace. It was all about what I did, how many doors I knocked upon, how much better of a Christian I was because I went soul winning and other people didn't. It was horrible. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, beloved. But pray be to God, God saved me. So I went from a lost sinner to a religious sinner. That's a lot worse, let me tell you. Oh my. Now, I was still lost as a religious man, but I'll tell you what, I thought I knew something and I didn't know nothing. I did not know nothing. Oh my. But praise God, now I know a little something. Yeah, I could tell you about the person who saved my soul. I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you about the one who done it all without any works by myself. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? So these false teachers, again, they crept into the Gentile churches. And they cast doubt on Paul's calling. They cast doubt on Paul's authority. But, you know, when a man's called to preach the gospel, let me tell you this. When a man's called to preach the gospel, a team of wild horses couldn't keep his mouth shut. I'll tell you, he's going to find some way to preach the gospel, to talk, tell others about Christ. And it's not ever about us. It's always about Christ. It's always about what he's done for us. Always about what he's done for us. And it's all by the grace of God. The only reason I can preach the gospel is because of the grace of God. He's done in me what he's equipped me for this, just like he's equipped every believer. Every one of us is equipped for what we shall do in his service going through this world. Isn't that wonderful? He's given us gifts. Every one of us have a gift. Every one of us. It's amazing. We're all, and here we are, a body of believers gathered together for the furtherance of the gospel, right? I'll tell you what, praying for this work, praying for me, oh, I hold that in a high place for y'all praying for me. And I know you do. And you know how I know you do? Because I see what God's doing with the messages. Because it ain't me. It's God. It's God that's doing that. It's him. And how he blesses you while we're here. And then how he blesses the messages that goes out. That's the Lord's doing, beloved. Nothing we're doing. It's just amazing. Isn't it amazing we have part in that? See, God uses means, doesn't he? He uses a sinful man to preach the gospel to sinful people. So here we are, just a bunch of sinners. Right here. And we're just rejoicing together that God saved us. And we're praying that God takes the message as it goes out and he uses it to save his people and build up his saints, right? So we can all just be praising them, can't we? Do you know that not one of God's sheep will ever be lost? He'll not lose one of them. And Henry used to say, we're on the trail of God's sheep. That's what we are, aren't we? That's why we're here. We're on the trail of God's sheep, beloved. And I'll tell you what. Dan, you said this years ago. God doesn't need a lot of people to do a work. I'm going to tell y'all something at the first of the service to give you a perspective of what God's doing with this work. It's absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. It's incredible. My, oh my. Paul wrote this because God knows, or Paul knows, that it's God who has to give the increase. He wrote this. I love these words. He said, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Remember the Corinthians were saying, well, I love Paul, and Apollos is my favorite preacher, and such is my favorite preacher. Don't say that. Don't say that. Say, well, I enjoy that fellow's preaching, but don't say favorite preacher, favorite. You know why? You don't ever pit God's men against each other. Don't ever do that. Now, somebody may like the way someone speaks. Yeah, that's fine. Right? You know, I'm just a plain speaker, so you're not going to get no fancy words from me. But yeah, we're all called. And that's what Paul was trying to bring forth to those Corinthians, is that don't vault Paulus up and don't vault Paul up, right? Listen to these words that he wrote. And I'll give you the address so you can write it down. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. He says this, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. We're just servants sent to preach the gospel, right? That's our duty as pastors, is to preach the gospel. It says, even as the Lord gave to every man, so it's the Lord who makes us to differ. I have planted, Apollos watered, look at that. But God gave the increase. That's the key. I'm just planting some seeds here, laying some, sowing some seeds like the sower did, right? Some falls on good ground, some falls on stony ground. But when it finds good ground, it takes root, doesn't it? Because God gives the increase. And then he says this, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Who gets the preeminence? God. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory, beloved. It's all his. It's all his. It's wonderful. And think of that as the gospels preached. Think of those words right there that Paul wrote as the gospels preached from Elmont, Michigan. Goes out into the world every month. It's God who gives the increase, isn't it? It's God who gives the increase to the preaching of his word. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor and praise for what he's doing amongst us, too. I've seen a great change in the congregation here in the last 2 years. It's amazing. The unity we have, the peace that we have, is absolutely stunning. That's God who's done that. That's God who's done that. Now, we still pray for those who are no longer with us, but we still pray for them, right? Still lift them up. Don't ever forget that. But what a work he's done here. What a work he's done in us, in amongst us. The peace we have now. My. It's all his work. And God will use the preaching of his gospel to build up his saints, right? To edify us, to build us up, to have us focus upon Christ and not the things of this world, to lift up our hearts. And to have it go to the lost sheep who are scattered all over the world. So marvel at the fact that God uses sinners to proclaim his gospel. That he uses sinners to tell other sinners about Christ. That he tells this bankrupt sinner right here to tell others who are bankrupt too, where to find the pearl of great price. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? Isn't he the pearl of great price? Isn't he the most beautiful person you've ever seen? Isn't the gospel the most wonderful news you've ever heard? Meditate upon that this week, beloved. Meditate on the fact of how good God has been being to us, and that he's given us grace. It's been given to us. Wonderful.